Hi, P-Love here. We have some recorded segments from the convention. They're segments that we've pieced together. We didn't do one single broadcast show. It didn't really make sense. So we have an interview with Kevin Watts, Crimson Guard 666, about his canvas art project. Then we have an interview with Zombie Guide talking about some of the cut scenes from the movie that he wasn't able to talk about before. We got a post-movie reaction. That's real quick. Just after our group saw the movie, we saw the 720 movie before the big group. Apparently they had an hour delay, so it kind of worked out in our favor that way. And then some con wrap-up reactions, just to get a feel of what the guys thought of the sales floor and everything, and the event as a whole. From my point of view, it was a smooth convention. You know, there weren't a lot of hitches or hang-ups. The lines were long, but they're long every year. The set was great, the great exclusives. Casino night, you know, you're just hanging with your friend, but for a common cause, trying to win something in that auction. We didn't win anything this year, but it wasn't from a lack of trying, I'll tell you that. Kuka-san's Latal performance, it wasn't even a costume, it was a costume and a performance, was something that, if you weren't there, you missed out. There's pictures, but the pictures don't do it justice. He lost out, he got second place. The winner was just a fantastic figure subscription service style Jinx. She looked the part, and it was a great costume. It was a bigger sales floor than New Orleans, but I think it was dominated by a couple of bigger booths for some of the companies like Roma Collectibles and Chris Neal. They definitely had bigger displays this year. Apparently Brian said he was thrilled with the general admission. I didn't see it out on the sales floor. You know, maybe they just went in line to get the autographs or just marched in for an hour or two, but apparently it was a good turnout. Our lenticular motion business cards that Matthew, Jamin, and I put together, those were a big hit. Everybody seemed to like those. We have plenty of leftovers, so we'll probably have those at the next show that we do. The JC table had a steady flow of people coming by. It got a little thin there when there was the Hasbro panel or the club panel, but for the most part, it was steady from as soon as the floor opened for dealers Friday and setting on through. I know one kid brought over a cast that he got over at AVAX Lab, Kobe, and brought it over to Hypno Hustler and had him paint it. So that our services were there, and I'd watched Nova help. George from the Mildly Geeky podcast, he got an O-ring figure with a broken rivet in its arm, and Nova fixed that for him. So, but besides that, people were checking things out, taking pictures, asking questions. Bucky, Lance Sputnik, and General Hawk, they added to the customs that we already had on display, which Joe Michael 70, Joe Czar, Hypno Hustler, mine, and of course the Traveling Shipwreck Show. Custom-wise, we got to see Rat Fink and Willward for customs, their steampunk diorama, their pirate diorama. That thing was the talk of the show. Kobe's BET from the cartoon, that was just an awesome thing. There was no flaws. If that were production, it was too good to be production. Let me put it that way. Hogan broke out the JCW ring out of retirement, and that was just fun to see, fun to set up. I know those guys had a blast. It was good reliving some of those old memories. Ultimate Flint by Marine 73, he took, I think, second place. That was a beautiful custom. I mean, even some of the former Hasbro people were talking about that, seeing how nice that custom was. Nova's Toxic Zartan, that took third place. That's a custom I wish I owned, because that was just a beautiful figure with actual some meaning. It made me realize those Sigma 6 designs could have worked at the smaller scale. Overall, the highlight of the show for me was when Joe Michael 70 was able to convince Mary McDonald Loses and Bill Ratner, Lady Jane Flint, to come over to the table and check out the customs, see how we do stuff. I know Hypno Hustler cracked a torso for them, showed them how we do that kind of stuff. They seem to get it and understand we're using toys as a canvas and to express ourselves. That, from one artist to another, that energized me. That made me realize, you know, what we're doing isn't a waste of time. You know, we're not selling stuff, but we're trying to display our passion. They got that, and it energized me enough to go, okay, we definitely need to do this next year. We'll see. Don't know where or when. I have to do some major thanks to the guys who helped cover the table throughout the convention. You know, it's a team effort, and everybody pitched in. First and foremost, I got to thank Jim Michael 70. He's got a passion that matches my own, and in some cases, beyond me. He had his shelving displays, which were just fantastic, and everybody picked up his Santa Claus custom that he did. It was a big draw. Just a good piece, but it definitely drew people in. Came up with some great ideas, some O-ring breakdowns so people could see the parts broken apart, and it was just amazing. Hymno Hustler, his enthusiasm, the guy's just a natural salesman. You know, he'll explain to kids and adults alike and get them, and you just see the passion of what he's trying to talk about. You get it. Jozar, Zombie Guide, Beav, Nova, Lance Budnick, who came in, you know, Saturday and surprised everybody, and Sledgehammer, all those guys help cover the table in some way or form. You know, that's on top of General Hawk and Dream, who popped by for long periods of time. It was all around just a good time. I'm glad those guys came. It was a lot of fun. Lastly, I just want to go over some of the stuff I picked up, because it goes somewhere. Pretty much on the sales floor, all I got were some cast parts from AVAX Lab, Alyosha, Nova, who everyone agreed had some really good cast, some interesting stuff you don't normally find. Other than that, just Hymno Hustler, I got some loose figures he was trying to get rid of, and he added some customs to the traveling display. Joe Michaels, like I said, he gave me some actual shelving displays, and then I picked up some loose figures on the floor that went towards the blind pull, which we didn't have as many modern figures added to. I think everybody thought they'd just get something on the sales floor, but there weren't a lot of modern figures on the sales floor to be gotten. So we ended up with a lot more O-ring than modern, but I think everybody was satisfied. The blind pull, that due date is July 14th. That's it. Enjoy the podcast.
Crimson Guard 666 on the forums.
And Crimson Guard Immortal.
And he's going to talk about his Canvas.
Canvas, is that how, hey, I have to credit you with the name. So I don't know how you want to pronounce it, but it's, you know, Canvhiss. The idea came to me when I saw the Vader project. Whenever that was, 2009, 2010.
From Star Wars Celebration.
And I was just discouraged by the fact that guy had so much support, and I was just coming up with an idea and knew nobody and didn't know what to do with it or whatever. So specifically, I mentioned it on Joe Customs and was approached by members Nova and P-Love. And so that it just kind of evolved from there. You guys thought it was a good idea, and I was like, all right, maybe I can do something with this. We just strip it down to its bare bones, which is, you know, we use the his tank as the subject, medium, object, however you want to say it, for art. Doing, you know, almost anything that anybody wants to do, just using a his tank. There have been some great entries so far, including obviously yours, which was just the absolute epitome of what I wanted.
Oh, go on.
Your Wizard of Oz his tank is just so far outside the box. There's no box anymore, and it's exactly the type of thing I wanted. It's themed, it's relatable, it's creative, it's artistic, and that's what I want. So
I don't know, the bunny slippers. Those are
eye-catching. The bunny slippers are pretty hot.
And after I saw the alien ones, like, I got out my game.
Well, dude, I will admit I put a lot into that alien, and it took a very long time for me to get it done. But you know, it's going to be the flagship for a little while, for sure.
I saw some feedback. Some people were talking about the Chia Pet one.
Yeah, you know what? That's the thing. Some of the smaller ones that were quicker projects that are more relatable, they're the ones that draw people in. All right, so they see the bunny slippers, they see the Mr. Potato Head, they see the Chia Pet, and that draws them in, and they think it's funny, and they can relate to it, and they can identify it, you know, and then they look at some of the ones that might be a little bit more creative or artistic or you know, not themed, but just a higher level of art. And I'm hoping to get more people like that involved with the project, more artists involved with the project. And so, it's ongoing. I kind of have a plan, but I'm really kind of flying by my ass on it. I don't, you know.
We'll see where it goes.
See where it goes. Thank you.
Well, this was the big reveal. You just started the Facebook page
right.
the day before the con.
Mm-hmm.
What is the feedback you've been getting back from
I put literally the most boring his tank up, which was just a pink camouflage one that I did that was really a fluke because it was starting out as something else, didn't work out, and I was just, I'll just make a pink camouflage. Everybody likes pink camouflage. So
the flower vase?
Yeah, the flower vase, exactly. And within a day, we had 50 likes, and only half of them were people from my friends list. So I knew that it was already getting out there.
Yeah.
And that's cool. There's people talking about it. It'll develop organically from there, and that's what I'm hoping for. So.
What, have you heard anything, like, people checking out? Have there been a lot of people looking at it?
It's basically exactly what you said. They walk by, and they see... They see, like, the more obvious and relatable ones, and they laugh. And they say, this is great. And then they look in a little bit more, and they're like, wow, that X-Wing is really crazy. Wow, look at the graffiti hiss that you know, colors over did. You know, I mean, it's really... There's been no negative feedback. Everybody has been very happy. They think they're really cool. They think they're, you know, funny. And it's been going very well. The reaction has been very positive. The next step is to just hopefully get more... artists and customizers
well,
involved.
If somebody is interested and they want to be part of the art project,
right.
how should they contact you?
Okay, so eventually I am going to be setting up a web, like an actual, like say, WordPress-type blog site.
Right.
There will be contact information up there. However, you can find us on Facebook, just Canvas Project, Canvhiss Project. I am pretty much available on histank.com, on joecustoms.com, where I post as Crimson Guard Immoral or Crimson Guard 666. So I can always be PM'd there. And I'm on eBay as Crimson Sith, so I'm reasonably easy to find.
So any which way they can get a hold of me?
Any which way you can get a hold of me, go ahead and get a hold of me. And as the project develops and we have the website up, it'll probably be a little bit easier. And, you know, I've got another show in about 3 weeks. We'll have some more concrete logistics that I can share with people.
Okay. Well, we're on the sales floor. I'll let you go back to your super busy booth.
Mm-hmm.
How's the con experience been for you?
It's been cool. It's been very good. I think the show is much bigger than last year. I don't know if it's registered attendees or if it's people just bringing their families because of the movie's impact, but it definitely feels much denser as far as human beings, and there definitely seems to be more dealers. Sure as a shame Hasbro couldn't be bothered to show up with more than two people and a couple of figures.
But, that are already gone this
morning. That are already gone this morning because we all know they have to get back to their half-empty building to make more toys.
And that's Kevin Watts, everybody.
Hey, at least I didn't curse.
That's right. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
We're here with Joe Czar, Hulk Hogan, Bad Ash, Hypno Hustler, Beav, Joe Michael 70, and of course, Zombie Guide. We're live from the convention center in Indianapolis. We're going to start by asking John about his Cobra number 8 role in G.I. Joe Retaliation. Say hi, John. Let the audience hear your sexy voice.
Hi, John.
Oh, okay. And,
Famous line from the movie? No. Not my
line. All your lines were cut? At least, but you did get your SAG card out of it, your acting card.
What that means is that when you move up to principal, they automatically have to offer you union membership. So after we got that on G.I. Joe Retaliation, I got a nice letter in the mail from SAG saying congratulations for your bump. You're now offered participation in the union anytime you want. So the way it was explained to me at the time by the assistant director, he said, you know, at this point, Louisiana has such a pool of non-union actors to draw from. You don't want to get your card now because it may affect your ability to get non-union jobs after that. But Louisiana being third in the country now after Los Angeles and New York, he said, Louisiana one day is going to require a SAG card just to get in the door. So I got it, put it in my file. At some point when I need it, it's there. That's a long answer.
Why can't you tell us the line?
Oh, I can't tell you the line.
Yeah, well,
there were four lines total.
Let's get right to it. What are we going to miss out on the DVD? Give us some of your lines and some of the scenes that...
Okay, let's back up a little bit. I can say anything now, so I mean, I'll give you the whole story. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. G.I. Joe 2, we shot between August and November 2011. I was originally hired for 3 weeks, spread out over those 4 months. But then I picked up days whenever somebody else got called. Somebody else called out sick. I became the guy you can call when you needed somebody. Of course, because I wanted to be on the movie. Okay. So come May 2012, me and I think 8 or 10 other guys got called back to come in and audition. They said, we're going to do some additional shooting, 3 more days in the movie. So I was one of the guys that got called back to come in and audition because they wanted to give away some lines. So you remember all that.
I remember.
All right. Anyway, so I went in for my audition. Me and what was cool about it was the guys that I was there with were guys that I had worked with not only on G.I. Joe, but on other stuff. So we're all friends at this point.
So like Abraham Lincoln,
yeah, Vampire and 21 Jump Street and all that other stuff. So that made the experience that much more fun, that you're not just there to work and hope you get something, but you're there with all your buddies. So we all went and auditioned, and I think one guy got it, and I wasn't. But it turned out they wanted to go with the older. And I'm only 21. Add the laugh track there.
Yeah.
They wanted to go with older. They wanted somebody with gray hair. And I only have a little bit of gray hair. So,
and a little bit more. And a little bit.
Jeff wasn't available. And Chief was nowhere to be found.
Yes.
A little.
So, they wanted somebody a little bit older, and so I didn't get picked up for that. They did ask me, however, they'd like me to come back in a non-speaking role as an Army major.
For the Joes, or like the U.S. military?
Yeah. There was going to be a scene with like military command observing. I don't even know what the scene was, actually. But so I went to an all-new fitting to get a really cool uniform with, you know, medals and ribbons and all that stuff. So I was really looking forward to wearing the uniform because it was so cool. But, so that was on a Wednesday, I think. That Saturday, I had to go for the fitting back at Fort Pike, where they shot a lot of the Fort Sumter scenes in the movie. And the following day, which was a Sunday, we were back at NASA to shoot additional scenes. So when I got there, a lot of the other guys that didn't get their speaking part either at the audition were there. They all got asked to come back in some capacity or another, including a couple guys to come back as Cobra Troopers. So when we got there, there was a lot of sitting around. And
professionalism. Oh, my goodness.
Sorry about that. So when I got there, you know, I saw my old buddies and we all just sat around, and it was kind of cool. Just in our little waiting area, you got Red Ninjas hanging out, Cobra Troopers hanging out, and guys in military outfits hanging out. So the wardrobe guy ran in. He says, I need the Cobra Trooper, two more Cobra Troopers, quick. So I'd rather work than sit around for hours. So I said, okay, well, I'll take one. And when we did the original shooting, I had my own uniform that had been assigned to me, and that was mine for the whole time. So he says, we don't have your uniform. You're just going to have to make whatever we have work. So I said, that's fine. So took me back to wardrobe, got me suited up, and took me to the set. And what was cool about that was when I went back to the set, I got to sit there and watch Ray Stevenson do some more of his stuff. And I actually saw that scene in the movie, and I mean, it was 2 seconds long.
Yeah.
I'll point it out. So then after we got to watch him running around with a couple of red ninjas and all, they took us to Arset. And Arset was the Zeus control room. The Zeus satellites are attacking Earth from space. And it's a control room. And I guess it wasn't in the original scene, original filming of the movie, so they added that. So then they had, I guess, eight Cobra Troopers. And again, it's all buddies that, you know, I'd worked with throughout the whole movie. But it was cool also because some of the PAs were the guys that we had worked with before, so we knew them. The stand-ins were guys that we had worked with before, so we knew them. The same assistant director, John Chu, the director. And so he sat us all down, positioned us where he wanted us, and he said, okay, I'm going to go around and give you guys some lines and see what I can do with you. So, of course, everybody's excited, you know. It's what everybody wants to happen. So the two guys that originally got hired to do lines, they were there. One guy is featured in the movie quite a bit, the main guy that got the lines that day. He's in the movie quite a bit. But another guy who got lines that day, I didn't see him in the final cut either. I think he got cut out. There was also a third guy that got lines, and he didn't end up using them at all. So it's all up to the director to decide who he's going to use and in what capacity.
Right.
So he came back to me 4 times total over, I think we went for like 8 hours that day. And he came back to me four times total. And by the time we did this in May 2005, I already done a bunch of movies and stuff. So the being in the situation didn't make me nervous. And my wife's a photographer, so I have cameras on me every now and then. And, you know, just doing movies, I have cameras. So that doesn't bother me. But holy crap.
did the costume person, did he or she have to hide the chubby you had when you wore the Cobra outfit?
Yes. Very fat. Also, I didn't even have the flak vest to hide it. Because we were not in a battlefield situation, so the flak vest had to come off. But no helmets, no guns, nothing, just military uniform.
That was good.
You like that? You like that? I'm out of here. Prepared at all.
No.
I had the fat joke ready.
I had questions.
That was written out in the net.
It wasn't. This, you mentioned a scene about Cobra taking over the Capitol. An awesome scene that we may... it's not in the movie. Can you tell us? Can you tell us a little bit about your involvement in that particular scene?
Yes. Okay. I'm not an actor.
No.
So I have to learn everything on the fly. Okay. There's first unit shooting. You know what first unit shooting is?
No.
Okay. You really don't?
No, I do, but the audience doesn't.
The audience. We'll assume they don't know.
This is Matt's first time listening to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's witnessing it live, too. First unit shooting is where the director works with the main principal stars, you know, The Rock and Bruce Willis and all that. Then there's second unit where they have the second director works with the non-big stars. So on this particular day, they called us in on a Saturday, which is really uncommon to work on a weekend. And they said, we're going to do a scene. We need, I think it was 40 Cobra Troopers, and we're going to do a raid on the Supreme Court. With the second director, second unit. It was a football game that night or something, so everybody wanted to get it done quickly. I don't care. But everybody wanted to do it quickly. So I think we did it in 6 hours. We went to this old courtroom or courthouse in Newark.
Everything
all over again.
We had a minor setback. All right. So storming of the Capitol, a scene that got totally cut out. How did that happen? Yes, starting from scratch. No, starting for the first time.
Okay, in a point in the movie, Cobra starts to take over the U.S. government. And one of the scenes that I was part of that got cut was a second unit Saturday shoot. Saturday shoots are very...
What's a second unit? No, I'm just kidding.
So on this particular day, we were going to raid the Supreme Court. And we needed 40 or so Cobra Troopers, which is pretty much all the Cobra Troopers that they had hired. So we came to this old courthouse in New Orleans, which was really nice, probably built in the 1800s, with marble everywhere, really high cathedral ceilings. And they had a lot of people, a lot of extras, you know, background people, because they had lawyers, they had Supreme Court security guards, they had lawyers, and so they set everybody up in position, and they got all the Cobra Troopers lined up, 40 of us, and there was 2 flights of stairs. At the time, I was in much better shape because I was working out like 5 times a week. And I always used to do 30 minutes a day on the elliptical. Thank God. Because we went up and down those stairs 40 times.
Wow.
Yeah. And people were going down. People were tripping. And you got the helmet on, you know. And
those visors were they block your vision. Jetted out. Mm-hmm. So
not only do you have that blocking, but you have all this gear on that you're not used to wearing, you know. Holsters on your legs and blast belts and vests and all. Not to mention some of the guns were 15 pounds, unless you were lucky to get a rubber one.
What time of year? I mean, this was Louisiana.
This was early November.
All right. So it wasn't like the middle of summer or anything for you guys.
No, but I don't even think the building was used at that time, so there's no air conditioning. Plus, when they're shooting, they can't use air conditioning because the microphones pick up all the sound.
Oh, wow. Man.
So, but it was really, really fun scene to do because we had to do all these different angles of it, of course. But the first shot that we did was everybody running up the stairs, catching all the lawyers off guard and taking all the security guards at the Supreme Court hostage, which was fun. So you got to, spin the guards around, disarm them, put your guns on them and all.
Like, was that all, were they like, okay, you're going to grab that person? Or
the whole thing on any movie is kind of pretty loose. They just tell you what the basic idea is. And you, unless they have very specific directions, you have a lot of freedom to decide what you're going to do. You get together with the other guys and say, hey, let's do this, let's do that. And only if they don't like it will they say something.
So that's why it got cut?
That's on every movie, though. And that's why all my stuff gets cut. No, that was fun. So we did that. We raided it. We rounded up all the lawyers and stuff, and we were throwing people around and rushing them out. And we got to go into judges' chambers and pull them out in their robes and throw them around. And because everybody's in costume, it's all very, very convincing.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fun. But unfortunately, that scene does appear in the trailer.
Right.
You ever seen that trailer? But it does not appear in the movie at all. Sad.
Now, and some of the talk is like some of the old guys that Joel Colton has sitting around the table and stuff. Supposedly they had names or whatever. They never mentioned in the movie. Was there anything you saw in the script or anything you saw while you were shooting that, you know, where named characters had names?
I never have full access to scripts. Ever.
Got it.
If anything, I have access to what's called sides, which was the base script that I can see. And those guys were, I believe John Chu said they were supposed to have names, but he chose not to because they wanted to use them for future use. However, those guys had a lot of scenes that were totally cut out of the movie. The scenes with the world leaders, those guys had whole scenes where they enter the fort, the president gives them a speech outside in the courtyard, and then we, the Cobra Troopers, he slowly unveils to them who he is. And it's all through intimidation. You know, it starts off passively at first, where he's talking to them, and then we just kind of close in on them with our guns. We have them surrounded, the Cobra Troopers and the Secret Service. And then they go down into the conference room where he actually shows them what his plans are. And again, there were whole scenes during that were cut. After he unveils who he is, all the Cobra Troopers and Secret Service come in and round up everybody, except for the president who left there. The old Joes are part of the group that comes in and rescues them and gets them out of there. So all that got cut.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's really cool.
That's gone.
Mm-hmm. So that whole thing with the world leaders is really, really choppy because you just see them for half a second, you intimidate them, and then you never see them again. You miss all their rescue scenes and all that. And Jinx was part of the rescue scene, too, if I recall, helping to get them out of the fort.
What scenes of yours did you see while you were watching the movie? Did you go, oh, yeah, that was me?
There's a scene in the missile construction room where the president's talking with Zartan. I think it's the scene where the president sees Cobra Commander for the first time, and he says something like, "Oh, man." That was the first day of shooting at NASA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and again, they did a lot of shooting, but only a couple scenes made it in. I'm one of the guys down on the bottom floor. You see us marching in formation. They had to give us a whole training thing on how to march in formation.
How long was it? Was it like a whole day or just
15 hours?
15 hours, just on marching?
No, they're
or with the filming scene. And
yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was at the end of the day. We were really, really tired, and that was probably in early September, and that was really, really hot because those sound stages are old NASA, hangars.
Right.
And they're pure concrete and hotter than hell inside. And you're wearing all that gear, and mosquitoes were out. So we went on break. We tried to go outside. And mosquitoes would attack us. We had to go back in. But there's a few other scenes like in the fort. Where the president is talking to the world leaders, I'm on his left. But he again, a lot of stuff got cut out of there. There's a point where he unveils who he is. And then as he says that, the Cobra Troopers come in and lift up our guns to support him and back him up.
Now,
that's a couple I remember off the top of my head, but there is more.
Just in general, not just the stuff that you were in, was there any scene you were really looking forward to seeing in the movie that you know got filmed? Or
yeah, the scenes with me.
those were the ones you were really looking forward to.
Of course, yeah.
I'm just...
But, however, the day that we filmed all those scenes where I was saying that it is intimidating, you know, having the camera doesn't bother you. But the realization that, okay, not only do you have A camera and B camera on, you know, because you want both angles, you got the boom microphone over your head, clapboards in your face, and then you become the, you get your 15 minutes, I guess. You know, they give you all that attention, then just the total realization that this is a $190 million movie. And it's all on me for the next, you know, 30 minutes or so. That's pretty intimidating. So I didn't have my gloves on in that scene, but holy crap, I was sweat on my palms. I'm such a good actor, though, I acted like I wasn't nervous.
I didn't notice it. I didn't see any sweat on your hands.
But my buddy who was next to me, his name is Andrew. He had been working on, you know, the movie that time. So he was given lines as well, and his lines remain. Much better looking man than I am. Younger too, probably about 21 years old. But I was happy for him that his lines remain.
I'm going to look for Todd Jordan. I'm going to see if I can notice him in the news crew this time.
Todd Jordan.
Not nachoarmory.com?
No.
Right, I'm just messing.
Do you have custom scotch?
No.
We'll edit that.
Yes.
I believe he did one day in a scene that was ultimately cut from the movie. The R-Town president is in front of a plantation house. And the whole speech was supposed to have been much, much longer about, you know, how the jokes were ripped off a nuclear weapon from Pakistan. And he got on as one of the photographers, part of the Washington News Corps. All over the trailer. If that scene remains in the movie, it's about half a second long.
Yeah.
Sad.
I don't even think they show the reporters other than a pan across them.
I think it's a very quick pan, and that whole movie is just kind of a lot of quick shots.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
So I know you've filmed some stuff since G.I. Joe. Do you have any upcoming things we should be looking for you in?
The coolest, most recent thing was I was picked up as a recurring undercover cop on a new HBO show. It doesn't even have a name.
All right.
But it's with Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey and one of the core groups.
I'm sure you'll let us know on Facebook and I'll get it out there.
I'll let you know. Once the show gets
done. Yeah. Well, once it's picked up and aired a couple of times and out on DVD, you let us know. All right. Now we're going to talk a little bit about convention. I'm just going to pass the mic around. What have you noticed? What was cool? What has sucked?
Right off the bat, I'd have to say the JCW diorama is something everyone should see. It is the bee's knees and then some. There's a lot of outstanding custom figures in various forms of wrestling. It's
yeah, that's Joe Czar.
Good afternoon. Yeah, it's tremendous. It's a lot of hard work, and it really shows, and it's fantastic, and there's a lot of other great things that everybody should check out besides the sales floor.
Anything suck so far?
Other than the six-hour wait in line, no, it's been all right so far. Pretty much a typical convention.
Can you hold this for me? Hey, brothers. The rocket ship. No, wait, that's a different guy. I've had a great time meeting everybody. The best moments I've had was the fact that I didn't have to wait in line for anything and saw all these guys suffer. It was fantastic. Everything is cool. I didn't get to really do a lot. And yeah, I did have to wait for the celebrity here who's talking here. I mean, that's about it. I mean, it's awesome. It's cool to finally meet everybody. A little disappointed with my room accommodations. I wished I had a suite that I was promised, but, you know, I mean, it's not really cool. My daughter's not going to like that. You know, Brooke, she's going to be mad about all this, but I don't know what else to say. I mean, I got to go get my pump on, Mean Gene. So I'll see you.
Oh, my. Hi. This is Badash. Let's see. I'll start with the positive. Positive is, of course, every year meeting all the Joe Customs friends, meeting other people, you know, on the other sites and, you know, just people in general. Of course, the diorama, JCW diorama is the best that's out there. It's just a, it's a good environment. I dig Indianapolis. Hogan's Indianapolis. He just moved here. let's see the negative. That would be the lines, waiting in the lines to get into the lines to get other things. The nice little sheep going through and getting stuff. Luckily, I'm not doing the full package, so I did quotes in there. I'm not doing the full package. I'm doing the pull man. I enjoy it, all of it.
This is a Hypno Hustler. Yeah, it's been typical con. You stand around a lot and you get to hang out with people that you only get to see once a year, and that's why I do this now. I mean, the list that I've got is like four things that I'll get for $10, and then I'm done as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, I need a Naga Hide backpack. That's what I'm. That's the first thing on my list because I ruined my extra one last week. So yeah, you know, it's not about spending money. I mean, though the club got plenty of that from me. It's seeing these people. That's why I do this. It's just great to hang out with these guys.
Hi, Spieve. I'd like to start out saying I hate every one of you. Basically, P-Love should be banning more people, I think. I'm sitting here looking at these guys stroking Joe Michaels' monkey. Best part about the con, didn't have to pay to get in. Dream paid for it, and I got to listen to him puking this morning, which is awesome. I believe he's probably dying right now, which is probably a good thing. What do I... Those are the best parts. Well, I have been to Steak and Shake twice, too. Yeah. It is good to be eating all this crappy food again. What do I hate about the con? Oh. We've already mentioned the lines. Lines upon lines. And really, I mean, that's actually kind of... I'm going to drop my guard and say it's actually sort of fun as everyone gasps sitting around looking at me. I enjoyed the parachute drop. Yeah, I only had to teabag a few kids to get my stuff, but yeah.
That was unrelated to the parachute.
Well, you have yeah, but you know, they're already there. I've already pushed them down. I might as well rub my balls in their face. Does this have to be PG-13? Okay. Yeah,
that's the benefit of having
a water. Hey, okay, look. Look, I got three hit and runs and I gave two of them away. Okay, and I'm scalping one on eBay. It's currently still available for $35 if this happens to get up online soon enough.
Okay. Oh, no, it'll still be up.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's me over because everyone's staring at me and it's like I'm, you know, the CM Punk pipe bomb thing. They're waiting to cut me off or something. It's like, so I'll just end with a nice Joe Customs and I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, we got to get back to out onto the convention floor. They're opening it up for the first time. That's it.
So, Beav, did you like the movie?
No, it sucked. Joe Customs.
In the movie. Now, on second viewing, what did you guys think?
I thought it was much better the second time.
Yeah, it was better the second
also,
time.
Also,
your third with multiple viewings.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was. I didn't think it was as choppy the second time. I guess I was prepared for it.
I mean, my girlfriend who gives no fucks about G.I. Joe ever. Fiance. Anyway.
I'll cut it out. Does your girlfriend know about your fiance and the other way around, too?
Well, now, I guess cats out of the bag, you know. Hopefully they're game. she even liked it, you know, at least well enough. So
she didn't walk out of theaters, what you're saying.
Well, I was the ride, so.
And we definitely saw Zombie Guy's head a lot more this time. We were looking for it. Snake, what'd you think of the con?
I thought it was pretty fantastic, Kilo. Pretty fantastic indeed.
Six good reasons.
Six good reasons. I bought four cases of Sergeant Savage and G.I. Joe Extreme for no good reason. Probably a bad decision on my part, but I've made worse. Roma Collectibles, Wonderful Toys, and Cosmos Collectibles are handing out some sweet autograph cards. You get to meet movie stars like John here. How many are we up to?
Well, John counts as two.
John counts as two, so we're gonna
him
say five.
And his ego.
We're gonna say we're up to five. Sometimes you get mildly groped by the Hypno Hustler.
Mildly. Gentle.
Surprise.
And I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss. It was just such an epic convention.
Sputnik. Spending, what did you like about the con?
Oh, is that what we're doing here?
Well, what did you think about it?
Oh, I like it.
No. You customize, but go ahead and answer the question anyway.
Yeah. I'm not prepped here.
I'm focused.
I gotta go.
Brad, what did you think of the con? Matt, what do you think of the con?
It was pretty good this year. I got to see people that I didn't think I'd ever get to see, so that's great. And then...
Wait, you mean like this guy?
Yeah.
Like Bean?
And no. That guy. I have, but I didn't think I'd ever get to meet you again.
You're wearing my shirt.
I am wearing your shirt. Nice and broken in. It's delicious. And I'm probably going to come home with more money than I left with. So that's
probably...
I'm going to take that.
Scalping.
Notice he said probably. Strobel will probably spend it all on booze, whores, and nicotine gum. Also, there's a reason it's called the Joe Con. Let's just say that.
Says the guy who put his crayon up on eBay 2 minutes after the drop.
So,
what'd you think of the con?
It was good. Horrible. I mean, I didn't go to any presentations at all.
What'd you think of the con dinner?
How'd you like the price?
How'd you like the price?
Good price. Almost killed me. So it worked out.
Yeah, we missed out on... We missed out on anything for the raffle, for the auction last night.
I blame Bad Ash.
Yeah, we blame some bad math skills. Zombie Guy, what'd you think of the con?
Con was awesome. One of the high notes was that we did the best effort we've ever done on our casino night winnings. Which is a really good high, followed by a really low down when we lost on the auction part and got our ass kicked and got nothing.
We did win a free dinner.
Yeah. Somebody came away with it.
Somebody.
But overall, very good time. Nice to see it from
actually,
a different
I think
point
I evened out.
A dealer as an attendee, so I was actually able to hang out.
Other than that,
Hopple.
What Zombie Guy's not telling you is that he got extra chips for a picture with him and Mark Ruffalo from the dealer. The nerd cred carries weight around here.
This guy's about to show you his monkey.
Oh, yeah. The guy feels bored.
All right, Card Shark, what'd you think of this year's con?
You know, I think this con's been real good this year. Turnout was good. There's been a lot of social events going on around the con. It's just been a whole lot of fun.
Anything you really stood out to you?
Well, besides James Cavanaugh.
That looks all was...
That's pretty much the thing that stands out the most in my mind.
That was a show.
That was a show. That was a show. And what happened later on after the show closed was even better. So.
All right. Thanks. No.
Once again, the world is a safe place to be, thanks to the G.I. Joe team of experts. G.I. Joe, a real American hero.